the Sex Talk podcast, where sex educators talk about their sex education. I'm Jamie, and my guest today is sex journalist Frankie Cookney. Frankie writes the newsletter The Overthinker's Guide to Sex and is the host of the Second Circle podcast, whose recent series explored bad sex, from dissatisfying hookups to sexual dysfunction, body image issues, and shame. What was the sex education you received in school like, if you received any sex education in school?
Can I even remember?
That suggests it didn't.
Education I got in school
suggests it didn't make a huge impact.
No. Also, maybe it just was a long time ago. I remember like seeing a video of a person giving birth. That would have been in, I guess, year six. It was definitely pre-secondary school. I remember that. And I remember everybody being, you know, very horrified about that whole situation. I remember at secondary school, we had a biology textbook which had a picture on a page somewhere in it. It had a picture of some sort of genital wart or genital boil of some sort, and absolutely everybody knew which page that was on. But beyond that, everything else is gone. Those are the two things I remember: the horrifying childbirth video and the genital boil. I don't think I ever actually got a lesson on the genital boil. It was just there in the textbook, tantalising us.
Unexplained.
With some horrifying class that was to come, and it never came. And nobody ever explained it to me. I just looked at the picture.
So where did you get like your information about sex from, if it wasn't necessarily school? Or if they've just, am I again asking a question where it's quite far back and you don't exactly know where you picked up different ideas from?
I will say that my mum, my mum was a teacher herself, so she was pretty switched on to like what resources were available at age appropriate levels for kids. And so when I was little, I had the Body Book, which was at the time considered like a really great resource. That was by Claire Rayner. Funnily enough, in recent years, I've seen that doing the rounds on like Twitter and TikTok and stuff, with people being like, can you believe they taught kids this stuff? But in the late 80s, early 90s, that was definitely considered like a really progressive, awesome book to be giving to kids so they could learn about their bodies. And then when I was a teenager, I had a book called Let's Talk About Sex by Robbie H. Harris. Again, that was something that my mum checked in with her colleagues and then got for me. So I do actually feel like I had, you know, by 90s standards, I had some pretty good resources. But the problem is, it's not really enough, is it, when you're growing up in a culture that like shuts down all of those conversations. And obviously, you know, I grew up under Section 28, so there was absolutely no discussion at school about LGBTQ sex, any kind of queer sex or queer identities. And then, you know, teachers were obviously in a tricky position if that got brought up by kids in the class, because they weren't sure how to deal with it. And so it felt like something that got talked about and joked about in the playground, but there was just never any kind of backup from teachers, I guess, in that way. The other thing is, I think this is a story that I've definitely told people before, but it is amazing how tiny little throwaway comments that people make to you in those formative years can have an absolutely huge impact on you. So I remember my mum giving me this Let's Talk About Sex book, and sort of going through it, just sort of showing me what it was and being like, and you know, this is for you to look at in your own time and like no stress. Which all sounds really good, but there was this moment where there's a chapter on masturbation, and we kind of flick past that. Lol, no pun intended. And she was like, oh, and that's about masturbation. Well, I never felt the need to do that. So, and then we just moved on. And like, I mean, there's no way she'd even remember saying that. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But that definitely went in. And so then basically for the whole of my teens, maybe even up until my 20s, I definitely had some shame around masturbation. I mean, I was for sure doing it. Like, I mean, I could not stop myself, really. But yeah, just from that one really brief throwaway comment. So I suppose I wanted to sort of share that to balance out the fact that I do actually feel I grew up in a pretty progressive family who kind of did their best to make sure we had good resources on sex education.
Yeah, it's strange how those, particularly like almost with a lack of like that broader information in a society which is so like sex negative, those little comments can actually be really like become like parts of how we interpret and like look at like the lens through which we look at that world, which can also like sometimes even really unintentionally like absolutely increase the shame we feel.
Yeah, definitely. It's also just not really enough to just give people the information, is it? Like, there's got to be somewhere where they can bounce those ideas around and have experiences reflected. And when that's not happening, it's just all happening inside your head. And then you're building narratives around it. You're creating stories which you tell yourself around it.
You talk about masturbating. Did you ever feel like it wasn't something you should be doing as like, apart from your mum's comment, like as a girl, masturbating was like a thing you felt you shouldn't be doing? Or had you like, did you already know that that was like, was that not a myth which was around at that point?
I think that I obviously can't know what it was like being a teenage boy growing up and, you know, at my school, but it definitely did feel like wanking jokes abounded and there was not the same kind of shame attached to them. Masturbation was definitely not something I felt I could talk to any of my friends about or should admit, because it's hard to put my finger on quite what that was. I think there was a sense of like I just shouldn't need to do that, like I just shouldn't be so horny that I had to play with myself, kind of thing. I think that's probably what it boiled down to.
That makes sense. I would hope that we're moving past that, but like, I mean, I'm a generation younger than you and I definitely did not get better sex ed than that. So I'm only hoping that like younger Gen Z, Gen Alpha are getting better sex ed than that. But even like the new RSE guidelines, which came in a while ago, don't even mention pleasure. So like, I don't have massively high hopes.
I know, and it's ridiculous, and parents are still kicking off about it, saying it's like terrible. It's so funny, you know, in like the parents group chat at my kids' school, they've definitely been conversations about, oh, it's just going way too far. And I'm looking at the curriculum going, what? I mean, obviously, like my son's six, so they're not actually even doing sex education at this age. It's not all about that. It's about like friendships and families. But even so, it's just funny being at the other end of that spectrum, feeling like it's not going far enough.
So how did you get from the point where you like had like a pretty good sex education from like 90s standard to the point where you are now a journalist writing about sex? Did you always want to go into that, or was like this a specialism which like developed over time?
Yes, it's a specialism that's developed over time. Although now that I look back on it, I do see a trajectory. I think that... so my sort of villain origin story, which I actually shared in my last podcast series, was like the time that I found some condoms in my dad's sock drawer and took one into school. And I was about 9 or 10 at the time. And to me, that was just an interesting thing that I thought other people would also be interested in. And it turned out that my peers were absolutely horrified, did not want to look at this thing, did not want to talk about this thing, didn't want it anywhere near them, cue much shrieking in the playground. And I got in trouble in the sense that the teacher was called and they called my parents. I mean, I wasn't in major trouble. I was just informed that it was not appropriate to bring a condom into school, which I actually think is fair enough. But I think it's so interesting to me now that I found this thing, was wildly curious and just assumed everybody else would be too. And then was so dismayed when they were just horrified and didn't want anything to do with it and just wanted to pretend it didn't exist. And, you know, cut to 25 years later and things are much the same. So I think definitely when I look back, I can see that I've always really just had this curiosity about sex, and I've always really strongly felt that that was not only not shared by everyone around me, but also that they kind of wanted it, my curiosity, to go away. Like, they didn't want to be drawn in. They didn't want to have those conversations with me. And then obviously as I got older and became sexually active, that felt a bit more important to address.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, I obviously understand why people don't want 10-year-olds necessarily doing things like that. Everybody develops at different rates, and it's really not appropriate for one child to take it upon themselves to educate the rest of their class. But then obviously once we're like 18, 19, 20, and I'm still kind of encountering these attitudes and these kind of wanting to shut down the conversation vibes from people, that's when I start thinking, huh, something's not right here. And then I think the sort of another kind of, I guess, catalyst moment was when I was at university and I was at a party and I was chatting to a guy, flirting with a guy at this party. And I just knew that he was into me. Like, in a very unconfident way, because I definitely didn't have the confidence at that point to be like, yeah, it's on. But I just got the sense that he was into me. And if I made it clear that it could happen, it would happen. But the guy in question was sort of known to be like a player, and I'm doing inverted commas here. And so in the same moment that I realized I fancy this person, I think they fancy me, sex could happen, it could be hot and fun. In that exact same moment, I had the sense of like, but it will come back on me. It will come back badly on me, because there's just no scenario in which I would be seen as an equal party in this. It would always be framed as like I was his conquest, even though here I am right now doing the fancying, having the sexual agency, wanting the thing just as much. And I, like, that was all going through my head, like, at this exact moment. And I'm just standing there with my drink, like, ah! And so, I didn't do anything. I can't remember how I excused myself from the conversation, but I left the conversation and went to talk to my friends, and, you know, nothing ever happened with that guy. And then I felt angry about that for a really long time. Yeah. Not specifically that guy, I mean, like, whatever, it's one shag I missed out on, but just that situation.
Yeah.
Like, I held on to that anger about that situation for years. And I think that, I mean, it wasn't just about that. I then started educating myself. And then, you know, that was the point, you know, I finished university just at the point that a lot of, like, kind of feminist writing was happening online. Like, Jezebel was going strong and all of these fantastic blogs, and I was just educating myself and learning loads and kind of developing how I thought about these things. And so I think that the experiences I'd had as a teenager and at university then kind of joined with all that stuff I was learning and the experiences I was having in my 20s, and it just kind of pulled me in this direction, I think.
Have you had to, like, unlearn anything along the way? Like, are there any particular things which stand out to you from, like, what you learned, like, as a teenager, which you've then had to unlearn as your views on sex have become more nuanced?
Yes, 100%. I have learned that I do not have to come from penetration.
No, yes.
I mean, saying that now at the age of 39, it feels ridiculous to me that I thought that, but I really did think that. I remember in my late teens and early 20s, I felt so disappointed Like, I just was like, I just know my body can't do that. And I felt so disappointed by that. Like, it's just, I'm never going to be that person. It's never going to happen for me. And what's mad is that I knew I could come very easily from clitoral stimulation, but it was just like, well, I can't do the thing, you know?
Yeah. It is so, I want to say absurd, but like, and it is, but it's just like, it's so strange how that is like that we have one, like that cultural narrative of like the penis and vagina sex, the spontaneous, like not spontaneous, simultaneous orgasm thing, where like that is so few people's actual reality of what sex looks like.
I spent fucking ages trying to have a G-spot orgasm. I really made myself quite sore. And for what?
Freud really didn't help in that respect.
No, definitely not. And I guess the other main thing would be, I'm not sure if there's like a specific thing I had to unlearn, but I think realizing I was bi was a kind of process of unlearning, rather than like one moment of being like, this thing isn't true. But it was more like, oh, okay, I don't have to tick that box. I don't have to tick that box. I can still tick all these other boxes. And this can still be my identity.
Yeah. Thinking about sex in a queer way gives you a very different perspective on, like, what it means.
Oh, my God. Yeah, 100%. I think I wrote a newsletter a couple of years ago that was entitled The Gayer I Get, The More I Like Penises.
Yes.
And I think, in a weird way, when I thought I was straight, I sort of had a lot of resentment around the way that sexual dynamics went. I mean, that was also partly to do with my age and, you know, the people I was shagging in my early 20s who were maybe not super focused on my pleasure. But then as I began to explore my sexuality and have sex with people of different genders, I was able to get to a place where I realized that when I was attracted to men and people with penises, like, it wasn't because I had to be.
Yeah.
I genuinely was.
Yeah.
So once it was no longer sort of compulsory and it was an active choice, like, I am going to sleep with a person with a penis because I like playing with that person. And I enjoyed sex with men more after I realized I was bi.
If you could go back to your younger self, if there one particular piece of sex advice you would like to be able to give her?
God, I really don't know if she would have listened to me. Because I think when these questions get asked and when people ask them, it's always with this idea that their younger self will be this very, like, receptive, gracious person. Like, oh, thank you for showing me the way. And, like, not being funny, but my younger self was still me. So I don't know if she would have been gracious. I think she would have been like, yeah, I've got this, fuck off. You know, which is why it took me till now to get here. But I think... I was going to say reassured her about her sexual orientation. That sounds bad, like I was ashamed. But I was a bit, so maybe that's not the wrong word. Yeah, I think if I could, I'd like to go back and say, you know, these feelings you have, these thoughts you have, these fantasies you have, this porn you watch, it's not an accident, and you're allowed to kind of pursue this further. Just because you fancy men as well doesn't mean you can't also do this. And I think I really felt at that point that I had to choose. It was like, you're either straight or you're a lesbian. And even though I knew the word bisexuality, I couldn't really envision how that would be possible to do. So I think if I could give myself some reassurance, some guidance on that, that would be nice. But at the same time, knowing my younger self, she probably would have told me to fuck off.
Where can people find you and your work?
I'm at Frankie Cookney on all social media platforms. So that's probably the best place.
Awesome. Thank you very much.